Welcome, Seekers. You've made your way to another fun and interesting bonus episode. This being an insightful deep dive into the mind of a mom. In this bonus episode, Valerie Probstfeld and I banter back and forth and bounce all around in a sort of mental mom gymnastics. If you listened to the April 21st episode of the Day Strider podcast, you learned our take on Queen Elizabeth as a monarch and as a mom. Well, this episode spreads the love to many other historical figures, including Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and more. You should check it out. We also mentioned some additional interesting things about the Queen. It's a fun conversation for sure. Oh yeah, you won't want to miss Valerie's speed round responses either. She has some good ones. And she even flips the questions back around on me. Time's a-ticking, so let's get to it. So I was going to introduce you as a mom and a nurse and a blogger and a podcaster and an author. So you're everything.
Great. Oh, yeah. Jill of all trades.
Jill of all trades. I love it.
Yes.
So how did you get into, what inspired you to get into the blogging and podcasting and eventually being an author?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me, Truman. I appreciate it. So, I have always liked writing. That was like my big thing that I did ever since I was little. I created tales and wrote. And in my childhood, like I just really enjoyed kind of just writing my feelings down.
Okay.
And I felt like that was helpful for me, therapeutic. I always like to write synopses of like what I've learned in life.
Okay.
And when I was just about to turn 30, I decided to write a synopsis about what I learned in my 20s. And I really enjoyed the process. I sent it to some friends and like, well, this is kind of cool. And so recently, a couple years ago, I was 38 at the time. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to turn 40. And that felt like that decade went real fast.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Yes. So I was like, you know, I am going to write what I learned. And then quickly I discovered that I learned a lot in the last decade because that's when I became a mom. And I really felt like I could write a book about it. And I'm like, you know what? Why don't I just do that? So I started writing. I had so much information I already had written down. And I don't even know if I'd say information, but feelings and everything from when I started my motherhood journey. Because I really thought I was going to be this A-plus mom.
I'm sure you're an A-plus mom. I'm sure you are. But
oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I think a lot of it was just this motherhood is so different than what we think, like what we think it's going to be and what it actually is in reality.
Yep.
And so once my baby was born, she was taken to the NICU fairly quickly. And, you know, she was fine, but like,
That's tough.
Yeah, it made quite an impression on me. And I felt like I didn't study for that. Like, you know, I did not study for any of this. So how do I deal with that control?
Mm-hmm.
But really writing was what helped me. So I wrote down my thoughts of how I was kind of dealing with this lack of control of what I thought I wasn't going to yell at all. Being a mom, because I remember like, you know what, this is all going to be great. But you know, life happens, you know, kids aren't listening.
We're running late sometimes.
It's beautiful chaos. I sometimes say, right. So I wanted to really kind of examine what it is that I can do to increase my awareness of the present moment, to take what I say, like negative mental highways, like frustration or anxiety and
mental
things
highways.
That are,
I like that.
Yes. I really felt like it was kind of like that. Cause it is like this, such a quick reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's normal. I mean, it's a normal part of being human to get frustrated, to get worried sometimes, like that's normal. But at the same time, I felt like I was doing it just so much that I'm like, you know what? Why don't I try a back road, a mental back road, like of gratitude, of mindfulness, of something different, smiling even, like those type of things I felt like were helpful for me. And then practicing them. I mean, obviously not every moment's perfect and some hours are better than others and all of that, but continuing to do that. And I feel like going back to the whole writing thing, that's what I wrote about, and about real time of us like living in the moment and how am I practicing this in the trenches right now with other moms. And so I've really been enjoying it. I started a podcast last year, and that's how I connected with you, Truman. And I just love your podcast.
Yes, thank you.
I love history, and it's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a couple questions on what you said. The first one, you talked about reminding yourself to smile. Do you have cues that you follow, maybe a sign that you, one of your children does something that triggers you to remember, oh, yep, smile. Oh, yep, take a pause. Oh, yeah. Do you have one of those, or how do you remember to do those things?
That's a good question. I think for me, it really is remembering my grandma in particular. She used to smile a lot at me. And so I have a lot of things in my house that are either from my grandma, she liked little crystal things. And so I have them in like in my china cabinet. Like I have some pictures here and there of her. But whenever I think of how grandma smiled at me, how I felt and how I felt.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like I just felt like I was enough, that I was worthy. And I want to honor her legacy by doing the same thing. And I do truly think, I mean, studies will kind of differ as to is smiling really, does that help with the brain or not? Like, so,
I think it does.
I think so too. I know, at least for me.
Oh yeah.
Like it tricks the brain. It's like a muscle that's tricking your brain, which I think is so cool. And
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And when I have guests, you know, on the podcast, and if they're not smiling, I coach them. Hey, you smile some more because that makes you more positive. It makes you more happy.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yes. So I think that smiling is so important because it really is. It helps.
It is.
It helps. And you look for smiles. You really do. And then that helps with my body language because children and adults, we read so much nonverbal, I'd say probably more so than verbal sometimes. And so it helps me when I smile, it then gets me in the mode of, okay, what are my other nonverbals doing? And kind of relaxing and opening up and this whole like pride and shame pose. Like Ken Barish, he's a child psychologist, and he wrote a book about pride and shame and how we open up, we expand when we're proud. And that's like such an emotion for kids and for adults of their parents feeling proud of them. But when we're shamed, we kind of go inwards, we tense up, we do these things. But when you're proud, and I feel like that's with smiling too, I'm expanding, you know? And so anyway, it kind of channels that energy, I guess.
I love it. I love it. And my second follow-up question for you is, you'd said you do writing every day. How often do you go back and read what you've written to then make you think, oh, I could start something new or stop doing something I didn't want? How do you do that on a regular basis? Or
I try to, but I also try to like embrace imperfection too, because I feel like a lot of my writing, I would say when I do it, like writing it in my phone or it depends on like where I am, just because I have, you know, the kids are always, there's always something we have to do. So
of course,
write in my phone or I'll take a note, jot it down later, send an email to myself.
I do that.
Yes,
things.
Or the napkin or whatever, you know. But a lot of it's just writing down what I'm experiencing in the moment. And I think that that really helps with mindfulness for me. Because speaking of time travel, I think that our brains are such a time machine, you know, like an underrated time machine. We have
an underrated time machine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that, because if you think about it, where can you meet other people, truly meet other people, is in the present. And I can only meet my kids in the present, my friends in the present. But if I'm in my anxiety or my worries, I'm in the future, I'm traveling to the future, or if I'm ruminating about something in the past, I'm going to the past, but I can't take anyone with me. So it's an underrated time machine in that like we're doing it so much and all the time, but it's so lonely, you know, like I can't take anyone with me on that. And I try to be mindful because it just helps joy. I feel like sometimes I feel like simple things are underrated. And so I like to to write down those things, those moments. So that's kind of what I do.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's great. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's very deep, Valerie. the time machine concept. That's very deep.
I was thinking about that on a drive, and that was one of the times I'm like, I'm thinking about something. So I guess I sometimes also will think when I'm running, I'm like, oh, that's a concept I want to write about. So I'll like jot a note down and then write about it later. That was one of those moments where
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. So you have a podcast called To Mom, is to love. And you talk about to mom and being a mother as a verb.
Yes, correct.
I actually went and looked it up in the dictionary and I noticed. So I went back all the way back to the 1828, the original dictionary that Noah Webster wrote.
Yes.
And in there, mother was, it was a noun. And they described it as a noun. Mm-hmm. And now today in the dictionary, when you look it up, the very first part of it is an adjective and then a verb and then noun is last.
Yeah.
So they really have reordered the meaning of mother. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you came up with To Mom as your podcast concept. And I know you have, you also have gear, your shirts, you have shirts and other gear you can buy.
Right now.
Merch.
That's my husband.
You got your To Mom merch.
He wants me to have merch.
Yeah, merch.
Yes. that's what I'm supposed to call it. So, but yeah, it's fun. Thank you. I've always really liked the etymology of words. I think that they're super interesting, and being like someone who really likes history as well, I think it's just really cool to see how words have evolved. And I would just remember when I was in the NICU with my first, I noticed everyone would call me mom. Like it was almost like overnight my name changed and I wasn't Valerie anymore.
Yes.
I was mom. And you know, as a healthcare provider, I'm a nurse practitioner, and I that makes sense. Like we do that. Like we are like, oh mom, do you have a question? It was interesting because I'm asked to fill out the birth certificate of my daughter, and we're so careful with, you know, writing out their names. We almost have our own birth certificate that we are presented with as mom. And it's a beautiful name. Like I love the name mom, but it's also not my only name. You know, there's more to me than just mom. And so when I was talking about earlier about this A+ mom that I had, it was like, I had all these expectations of my title mom, and society has all these expectations of mom and what a mom should be or shouldn't be. So I was like, what is mom anyway? Let me look this up in the dictionary. Cause I want to know what this total, like, speaking of, I have my, I'm sorry.
Speaking of.
Okay. In a second, I'm talking about being a mom. So what is this, you know, this name? And it,
hi.
I noticed, say hi. Hello. You want me to hold you? I noticed when I looked up in the dictionary, the noun, the title mom means, you know, obviously what it is. It's a title, it's a noun. But the verb means to care for or protect or to give birth or allow one to rise. And I thought that was interesting, first of all, that it is a verb.
Ooh, yeah.
But also what allows all those things to happen is love. So I'm like, gosh, that's really interesting that to mom is to love. That's what it literally seems to mean as a verb, or at least how I took it as.
Right. I think it's a fair connection.
Yeah. And that's something I can control. It was something that like I kind of was able to attach onto because I can't control like how my, I guess, ideal mom is. Like that's like kind of a fantasy or an illusion, society's view. But what I can control though is what I can act in this moment in love or fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think so much of anxiety and frustration all kind of stems from fear. So can I act in love right now, or can I act in fear and then doing that again and again? So anyway, I mean, this has taken so many years and I think so much of self-reflection on all of that. But I do feel like the more I work that muscle of being a mom as a verb, taking mental back roads as opposed to highways, the more I can just enjoy life and enjoy simple things, because I think that's all that matters really at the end, you know.
All right. So normally when we get to my speed round questions, I ask what famous person shares your birthday, and then you would have responded Queen Elizabeth II.
Yes.
And it's also somebody else's special birthday. Whose birthday?
It is
yours.
My birthday. Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's exciting.
Yes.
I'm going to turn 40 this year. So it's very exciting.
Oh, so it's the big
one. It's the big one.
The big one.
So that's why I have to release. Thank you. And I have to release my book now because it's, you know, I had this whole 30, what I learned now in motherhood. So I have to release it. So.
Yeah. Okay. So happy birthday. That's fantastic. Picture this, right? Picture this. You're a mom of a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and then suddenly you're now the Queen of England.
Yeah. That would be so wild. Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, exactly. And our Queen Elizabeth II had to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just can't imagine, because you have all your monarch duties and then you have your mom duties.
Absolutely. I think that is so wild. It's like to think about the fact that, I mean, gosh, like talking about like an identity shift, you know, of this queen. And I wonder if she thought about being a queen as a verb. What that would be.
Right.
So, but yeah, it would be wild. And I've always kind of enjoyed sharing my birthday with her. And I would say that because and Truman, I love your show because you talk about dates and I just love dates.
Right.
And so I think I always remember everyone's birthday. It's kind of a random fact about me that I just will remember your birthday if you tell me.
That's a good thing.
And so whenever I talk with people, I'll say, oh, you share a birthday with whoever it is. And I always felt like I had
neat.
And I always thought I had a good person to share for mine that I'm like, oh, it's Queen Elizabeth. And
you do.
She did invite, I believe she invited at one point in time, other April 21st birthdays to a party, but it was only 1926. So you had to be born in 1926. So like the year, I believe that was the year she was born. So at first I was very excited and was going to book my plane like that day.
Yep. 1926. Yes.
I read it very quickly and I'm like, I am going to London to, I am doing this.
Let's go.
So I'm like, no, not born in 1926. Dang it.
Me and the queen.
Yes, right? Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would. And then as queen, it was about 8 years later, she had another baby and another baby. So she had four kids, two when she was a princess and then two when she was a queen.
Yeah. It's wild. It's wild. And I mean, with the four kids, like when I read about it and all, and I was reading, you know, Charles, he had a relationship with his grandmother, which I thought was like really special to me. Cause I mean, I understand that, like that grandmother relationship, like with, I was saying with the smile and all of that, I thought that, you know, it's a special relationship sometimes when you have someone there for you in that way. But it also sounds like her and her mom, Queen Elizabeth, would do horseback riding together. And I think that's so neat. Horses are so awesome. Like I've done some podcast episodes on them and just the benefits of horses. And I think that would be super cool to go horseback riding with the queen, but you know, like to have that kind of relationship, like I think would be very neat. And I want to say Queen Elizabeth was very big into horses from what I remember. Is that right?
She was. Yes, she was. She was big into horses, riding them and owning them and racing them. She also did horse racing
That's
as well.
Neat.
She didn't race, but she had the race horses.
Yes, yes.
But yes.
Truman, if you had a horse, what would you name it, a racing horse? They always have such crazy names, I feel like. I don't know what Elizabeth's names were, but.
So I guess if I had the chance and I could, I don't know what the copyright rules are, but because I love time travel,
Yeah.
So I would go with the Flux Capacitor.
Oh, I love it.
That would be my horse's name.
Oh, that's a good one.
So it's not very fancy, but that's what I would use.
Oh, no, that's a great one. That's a great one. I always thought they were funny whenever I saw it, like read the names. I'm like, gosh,
people yeah,
get
have
real
crazy
creative
names.
With this.
Yes.
My daughters are in like, my older one is in a dragon phase. So she would want to name it some type of dragon.
Okay.
So.
Each day on my Facebook page, I post what that day is. And there was a dragon day.
Ooh.
And then I listed a few dragons. And then somebody came back and said, I missed Valcor, the dragon from the Neverending Story. I missed him.
So, okay. I'll have to reference that episode.
Have they seen the Neverending Story?
You know, I don't think she has. I don't think, I mean, but I do, she may have mentioned it, but I'll have to have her check it out.
There's a new version coming out. So it'll be more, the graphics will be more that our kids are used to seeing.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So when I was researching about Queen Elizabeth, there was a lot of negativity in the news about how she was as a mom. And I think of people, they didn't give her enough credit. Mm-hmm. And when I was researching Anne and Andrew and Edward, so all the younger kids were strongly in disagreement. They thought that she was a great mom and she was around as much as she could be.
Yeah.
You know, given that she was also the queen of the Commonwealth.
Yes. Yes.
Did you have any thoughts on the difference between the media's point of view versus her actual children's point of view?
I don't know. And I'm not sure like how she actually was with her children, but I can just think of it from like really any of us moms and like how we are so much I just think that's like such a kind of like, that is the question. Am I a good mom or am I not a good mom? Mm-hmm. And what is good and what is not good? And that's what I think we struggle with so much of society's expectations of we should be this good mom. And a good mom, I think, changes with, it's so subjective, right? I mean, like, and it depends on the time period you're in.
Right.
So I think that would be something as to like, what do I want to instill in my kids for them to be successful? And what do I value mm-hmm. as success for their adulthood? And I think that really does change with times. And so I wonder if like some of that came into play a bit. And I could see how the media, you know, everyone does try to like from the outside say, are you a good or bad mom? But what really is that?
Yeah.
You know, like, and what are you defining that as? And you're a queen. So like, that's right. Like, there's so much to it that I think is just, it's incredible to think about the amount of responsibility she had. And the fact that from what I'm reading, like she did, it sounds like a really great job with like still being there, being with the kids, like the younger ones, it sounds like. So yeah, I mean, I think that would be my opinion on it, if that makes sense.
Yep. No, I agree. And I feel like maybe the media would attack whenever they don't have something of political substance.
Yes.
Then they would go personal. And that's just not fair. Right.
So, yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And gosh, I wonder like if there was a media around my house, what the heck they'd say? Like, because sometimes it's helpful for me. Like if I'm yelling, I'll have the windows open. And if the neighbors hear me, I know I'm yelling too. Or like not if they hear, but can the neighbors hear me? That means I'm yelling too much. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like
too loud, too aggressive.
I remember one time, like my kid wanted to, like when they were a bit younger, my son, he tried to play hide and go seek outside. I could not find him anywhere. And I finally found him, but I was like frustrated because I was looking and scared. And so I kind of yelled, like, what the heck? Where were you? And then the neighbors, you know, saw me. Like, you know, I'm sure the media would have bounced and been like, oh my gosh, look at Valerie.
Oh, yeah. You would have been shredded, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which I thought.
But you were still doing your best at the time. You were doing your best in that moment.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I'll have to send you my magazine from Time. It's from 1944, where Elizabeth comes of age.
Oh.
So the Time magazine talks a lot about World War II. It talks about her being 18, coming of age, and all the balls she could not have because the country was at war. Mm. And so they were like really even negative then, it seemed like, where they were just talking about, oh, she would normally be doing this, this, and this, but I guess she's not. And too bad she's coming of age now.
Yeah.
It had like this negative thing to it, which I thought was interesting.
Yes. So her husband, Prince Philip, she had met him before then. So at 18, they were ready to get married.
Okay, yeah.
But her parents said, you can't get married until you're 21.
Yes.
Because it wouldn't look good for you to get married this young. Mm. So they had to keep a relationship in secret until they were able to actually get married 3 years after her 18th birthday.
Wow.
So
wow.
That's crazy to
me. Yes. Yeah, that really is.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds stressful enough. You know, like just a lot of things that she had to carry on her shoulders, you know.
Yep. Yep. All right. So let's pivot away from Queen Elizabeth, if you will, and talk a little bit about Valerie.
Yes.
So you have a podcast. Where do you find time in between writing, all the writing you do, and momming and nurse practitioning? Where do you find the time to podcast?
Oh, you know, I think a lot of it is just being, again, I think going back to that, embracing imperfection where I just do it when I can. And I do, I get creative, to be honest, with my time. And but I'm not like hard on myself where I don't have like deadlines, but I also will have in the calendar, oh, I'll do, you know, I'll do this day and I'll, but I'm also trying to include the kids when I'm doing things as well, as much as I can. I mean, obviously I can't do much, you know, but I think that it's really giving myself, you know, this first of all, this grace to say, it doesn't have to be perfect. I'm just going to do what I feel like I'm called to do right now, but also it fills my cup.
Called to do.
And yeah. And I think that's so important for me to fill my cup as a mom in order to fill my cup or fill others. Like I can't really pour from an empty cup. And when I feel like this passion to spread awareness to other moms, and so I felt so alone, I think my first year of motherhood, and I felt like this really is helpful for moms to know that they're not alone and that they don't have to be perfect. And, you know, the media is not really knocking on your window saying, are you a good mom or a bad mom? You know,
that's right.
And
they're not.
Yeah. And, but I do think we sometimes think that in our minds of like, oh my gosh, like I'm failing at this and I'm not, but that's failure. We're just not. So it just, I think that it really is just trying to, do things that I enjoy. And I think that the kids see it too, where like my older daughter is like, oh, well, I want to write a book because I see you writing a book, and she wants to write a book about dragons. So I'm like, okay, let's do that. And, you know, like I've been helping her like illustrate dragons. And
that's
yeah.
Fun.
So she says she wants to do more illustrations, I guess, now that she's discovered that there's a different, there's an author and an illustrator. But but I mean, and a lot of this, I like my husband's been so helpful with. He has really helped with the whole podcast part. I did not know much about podcasts, to be honest, up until about 2 years ago. And then he really kind of gave me the idea of, okay, you can do a podcast. I can help you get it started. And so so that was very helpful too. And I've learned a lot along
the way.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Hang on to him. Hang on to him.
Yes, he's been so helpful. Shout out to Matt.
That's great. Yeah, Matt. Go, Matt. So as you've been podcasting, you've been doing it a while. What is your most funny or interesting experience that you've had doing this?
Well, I really, I mean, I enjoy every episode that I do and everyone I talk with. I would say the most funny, there's these two people. They are so incredible that they're called Shleep with an exclamation mark. So SH exclamation mark T that goes on in our heads. And they are just the funniest co-hosts together. And they just really embrace humor and saying it's okay not to be okay. Just make sure you're talking to someone. And so they're really talking about serious things, but really doing it in a funny way. So anyway, I did an episode with them.
I'll have to check them
out. Yes, they're awesome. Shout out to them. Yeah, definitely check them out. I really enjoy everything they say. So, but we were doing an episode recently and we talked about my brother. We went to the Grand Canyon recently. He moved out to Arizona and he took a great picture. We went like for a hike in the sunrise of the Grand Canyon.
I think I saw that picture. You posted that.
Yes, yes. He knew exactly where I should take it, where the sun was rising. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, oh, this is great. So took the picture. And then he's like, you're going to have to turn around now because I am going to pee off this ledge here and off this Grand Canyon.
What?
What? So I'm like, oh my gosh. So I turn around. And so anyway, we were talking about that. And then we went into this whole thing about like the, like being scared of falling off the Grand Canyon and like, with, yeah, you know, yeah, like male or female peeing probably would be different. Like all this stuff. So, it was quite a, it took a turn, but it was funny though that I thought that was a good point because we were talking about laughter and play and being funny and how we take ourselves so seriously. And
oh yeah,
who knew I was going to be talking about a conversation about like peeing off the Grand Canyon, but there we go. That's what we were doing. So anyway, that would, I would say hands down was probably the most funny episode. That Truman, that may not have been the response you were expecting, but
No. Fine. You know how they say only ask questions you know what the answer is going to be. That's how it goes, right? This is this will have to be my funniest story.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't really want to advertise that, but it's like, you know, I don't know.
We won't tell anybody. We'll keep it a secret.
There we go. Yeah.
All right. So back to serious. So your favorite person from history, who would you characterize as your favorite person?
That's such a great question. I would say probably so many, but probably Abraham Lincoln, I would say is my
Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. I love
yes.
it. And what lesson or motivation have you learned from Abraham and his journey?
I just think he's just such an interesting person. I think, first of all, like I grew up in Illinois. So like that was the land of Lincoln.
So that's easy to
connect. Yeah. And my hometown, Lincoln reportedly had visited a lot. So I thought that was super cool that there were like actual connections to places I would go all the time where Lincoln would go to.
Neat.
And so I always thought that was cool whenever we would travel places and it's like, oh my gosh, like, and then I know his funeral train went through the town and all of that. And so, but then, you know, when I looked more into him as a as an individual and his life story, like he had a lot of tragedy early on in life. Like his mom died when he was fairly young, and just had a lot of things that really were difficult. And he was actually quite depressed, and a lot of historians have agreed with that. And
I think I've read that.
And I just think it's incredible, though, that he is still this figure in history that is just, you know, all of the slavery talks he talked about, and he was also enslaved by his thoughts. You know, I thought that was so interesting, and that he continued to press forward despite all of the kind of the mental, whatever that was in his brain. Like he sometimes would say, I think after a speech, like he's the most miserable person living, which I like. It was just incredible, the amount of depression.
I've heard that.
Yeah. But what does history remember him for? You know, like it just such great. And I just thought that's just so interesting that he really continued to persevere and continue, like it's our actions, you know. And I think obviously, you know, I think it's now if Abraham Lincoln was around, like we would make sure that he got the help that he needed and all of those things.
Right. Of course.
So anyway, I just think he's super interesting. I mean, I have so many characters in history. Oh my gosh, that I would love to meet, but I would say him would be my number one if I was going to say.
It's a great choice.
Yes.
I wrote down when you said enslaved by his thoughts. That's a powerful way to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So we'll try switching from a real person to a fictional character, either from a movie or a book, or who would be your favorite?
Yeah. Gosh, I love these questions, Truman. This is great. So I would say two of them, but I'll go into one of them. But the two of them are Marilla Cuthbert from Anne of Green Gables. I think that she did an incredible job being an adopted mom to Anne, who really had a lot of trauma. And I just love both like the original Anne of Green Gables and also Anne with an E. A shout out to that show. Like that was really a great show. Anyway, but also King Triton with the new Little Mermaid. I don't know. Did you see the new Little Mermaid?
I have not seen it yet. No, I haven't.
It's actually, well, I had like a King whole Triton. Childhood, like just, it was amazing because that was my favorite movie in childhood, like the original one. And then
I saw The Little Mermaid. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then seeing like this new one, it was like, oh, I had all these emotions flash over me of just pure childhood joy when I was watching this new one with all these songs.
Did they follow the plot exactly or did they deviate? Is it different a little?
I would say that yes and no. They added more story to Prince Eric, which was interesting.
Okay, good.
And I thought that was kind of cool. Like they did a really good job. I think that like overall, like I really was impressed by how they did everything. I mean, I can watch that movie so much. Like, I think it really was good.
It's a classic. Yes.
Yes. And what I felt like, I guess, so this was a bit of an adding or deviation or an adding or whatever from the original movie, but King Triton, so he was so upset that his daughter wanted to go to the human world, you know, and he really had to work through those feelings. And, you know, being as a parent, so mom, dad, you have to work through those feelings of like your teenager wants to do what they want to do. They're so headstrong on this. And, you know, like in the original movie and this movie as well, he got so frustrated. But I like how at the end of this movie here, and I guess also in the original too, I think it's just this new one's on my mind more, he was able to kind of let go of his fears and say, it's okay to live your life. You know, I can help and I can guide, but eventually I have to let go. And I think that's such an important lesson of parenthood.
Yes.
And it's always that, you know, that struggle, I think. And so I think King Triton is very inspirational to me as a fictional character.
That is fantastic. So I will give you some unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
When your children are old enough to take the car key or the key fob and go out and drive on their own for the first time, you'll have to remember King Triton.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
And letting go.
Oh, man. Yep. I'm going to have to remember that. Yeah, I don't even. That's true. Like my oldest is, she's 8, so she'll be 9. So we still haven't gotten to all the teenage years. I'm like, and I hear it just keeps getting harder or more like, I mean, challenging or whatever. But, you know, I think that it's That's the thing about mothering, parenthood in general, is like you really learn, gosh, I learned so much more being a mom than I ever did in any university. You know, like it's just.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I learned more than they
don't
teach
any of that.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yep. So I want to switch to a unique type of question and hopefully it works for you. So you've been podcasting for, let's say, a year and a half-ish, right? Close to 2 years?
Since February of last year. So a little over a year.
Okay. So if you could have the option to go back and spend time with the Valerie from then, who's just getting started on her podcasting journey, and share advice from her, or you could have the Valerie in a year and a half from now come back today and spend an hour with you telling you everything that she's learned, which one would you rather do?
Oh, I think I'd have to go with the future one because I'd want to know what I can do to get the advice from the future Valerie.
There's no right or wrong answer here.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, because it's like, oh, my immediate response, like in my head, was thinking like, not to take myself so seriously. I think take my own advice sometimes, right? Like I think sometimes we get so caught up in, oh, this isn't perfect, or, you know, like I have to do X, Y, and Z and I have to do all these things, but really it's okay. Just kind of like what King Triton said, like let it go. Sometimes you just have to let it go. Let things grow on their own, you know, like their own time.
Agreed. So speaking of advice, you've talked about already how your podcast is for moms and helping them if they might be alone, how to think about filling their cup differently and how other people are judging them, but they might feel like they're being judged as a mom. What advice do you have? Is it journaling like you'd have done, or do you think about meditation, or how would you advise moms?
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it's really, I'm an expert at not being an expert, I think sometimes, because I am because we are all in it together. And I think that I am really just seeing what I can do to live my life in more simplicity and more joy and enjoying my kids in these fleeting, beautiful times. And I think that, you know, everyone's different with the way we want to fill our cups and the way we can lengthen our space between reaction and response. And I think that as moms, we're entirely too hard on ourselves. And I feel so empowered to help other moms because we're so important. We really underestimate our power that we have. I mean, if you think about how many, like with history, like how many descendants I'm going to have, and, you know, all the generations and the ripple effects I can create. I think I love telling the story of the monarch butterfly and that in the migration, because it's not the same butterfly that migrates back up north. Like they travel in generations. And so the journey that they're taking is not just one person. So you have a legacy, and sometimes you may want to, you know, pivot that, like if you want to change a bit of a generational legacy, you know, you have that power to do those things. Or if you, like with my grandma, like I want to continue her journey and continue that smiling. And I just think that, to remember those things as moms, to lift each other up,
right?
We are just moms, and we are so important, and our kids are incredible. And I just want us to know that we also are so, so important, and that we are enough. I think that's like, I feel like my calling right now, where I want to kind of spread that message of that imperfection. Like we are an imperfect community.
Love it. Love it, Valerie. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hopefully that resonates. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna have a little fun. It might not be as fun as the
the Grand Canyon.
It might not be that fun, but we're gonna do our speed round.
Okay, there we go. Nice. I love it. History fun is great.
Yep. So besides Queen Elizabeth, what other famous person shares your birthday?
You know, I should have looked that up beforehand, because I know you told me that part. You know, I completely, now that I'm 40, I forget these things. So I'm like, that's the only one. I always think of Queen Elizabeth. What other one does share my birthday? I think
so
there's another one.
Do you know? Have you heard of Iggy Pop? Have you heard of him?
No. Well, I have. Rock star. But not, I'm not as familiar though. Is he So he has an April 21st birthday then as well.
Yeah, Iggy Pop. And then there's Rob Riggle. So he's an actor and stand-up comedian, and he's also been in the military.
Okay.
He was in the movie The Hangover.
Oh, nice. What character was he in The Hangover? That was a funny one.
He was the one who was the police officer when they stole the car. And then they had the taser, and then he let the kid tase the guy. Do you remember that scene?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah,
I gotta watch him. That movie again.
It's a funny one.
That is a good one.
Yep. Yeah, so those are a couple.
Yeah. You know, I guess I was just so obsessed with the Queen Elizabeth that never really bothered to look at the others.
You don't need to.
Yeah. But I did not know the birth of Rome, that was legend, to be April 21st. That's like pretty interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and say Rome is apparently the
there
Rome.
You go.
So Rome? I'm going to go ahead and claim that.
Nintendo Game Boy was also born on this day.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm super excited to hear about all that.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
So what's your favorite time travel movie?
Back to the Future, hands down.
Love it.
Yes. Flux capacitor all the way.
Yeah. Now, do you like the first movie better or the third movie? Some people like the third movie better or the second.
Definitely the first, I would say. The first is the classic.
Yeah, I agree.
I can really just probably recite every single word in that movie. But you know, I guess tying that to motherhood, I was, you know, the October 21st, 2015. That was when he traveled to 2015 from 1985 and, you know, in the second one. And so I always thought that was like the coolest day. And I was pregnant at the time. So I did one of those bump photos or, you know, or like a bump chalkboard thing.
Yep.
I drew out like my, like whatever, however many weeks I was at the time. And I drew the license plate. I put almost out of time, you know, like how the... the best bump photo, I guess, that I could have. Yeah. So, but yeah, great movie. Great movie.
Fantastic. Love it. All right. So if you could use a time machine to transport anyone you wanted to join you for dinner tonight, you might be saying Abraham Lincoln, but who would you transport to join you for dinner tonight and why?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, I would say if not Abraham Lincoln, if I had to choose someone else, I really have been on a Teddy Roosevelt kick recently. I think he was really interesting. And I think we'd want to talk with him about how he was like just such a badass, where like he was giving a speech and got shot and continued to give that speech. Like it was just like incredible. Like, wow. And the fact that he was, I think, like such had reactive airway disease, asthma, as a child, and then like for him to go to, you know, the national parks and all that. I've been to a couple recently. And so I'd like to talk with him about all that. And like, you know, I think, again, that talks about like that ripple effect of, I guess, breaking it all back to peeing off the Grand Canyon. It came full circle there. But like, you know, just being at the national parks, so Acadia I was at recently, which I really do, like on a serious note with Acadia, I like to talk about because there was this beautiful pond in Acadia called Jordan Pond. And have you been, Truman, to Acadia?
I have not.
It's not really nice. And this pond, a child threw a pebble into the pond and the ripples just looked so incredible in the sunlight. And I took a picture of it. So I'm like, that is really just a great visual of what we can do as humans. And we may not be changing the world, but we can at least change our corner, you know, and the ripple effects that we're
doing. You
can. So that's who I guess would I would have host so many dinners if I could actually have some people coming from history to do it. Have you ever seen, Drunk History? Are you aware of that one? It's like
I'm gonna have to look that up.
Oh, well, they just celebrities, I think, for the most part, but they get them drunk and they talk about history and like some historic event. And so that just came to my mind you'll have to look that up, Truman. I think you'd definitely get a kick out of that. Because there'd be a lot of dinner parties I'd be hosting. How about you? Who would you have?
Who would I have to dinner?
Yeah.
So I would love to have George Washington.
Oh, that's a good one.
And it's more than just because he was the first president.
Mm-hmm.
I think to me, the most remarkable thing about So he accomplished a lot of things. The whole experience of crossing the Delaware River.
Yes.
As a surprise on a freezing Christmas Eve night, convincing your soldiers, motivating them, some of them bare feet through a frozen, almost nearly frozen river.
Yes.
It's crazy. But the biggest thing for me was everyone wanted him to be the king after we won our independence. And he was able to rise above his own desires, if you will, and say, no, the power is in the hands of the people. That's what we fought for, to not have a king. And so he chose to not be a king. And then after the second term of presidency, stepped down and allowed the government to actually grow as a government of the people. To me, that's just amazing to have that much power in your hands and say, no, I'm going to let it go. Cause that's what we believe. That's why we fought for all that. That's just powerful to me.
That's very powerful. He is such an interesting character. And then the letters that he would never write.
The letters.
That they call, I think that's just such great advice. You know, like if you're frustrated, write that letter, but then just don't send it. You know, I just think
that's right.
We can thank George Washington for that. Next time you want to send an angry text or something, do a George Washington.
Yes, that's a good advice. But I thought about it as you were talking about Lincoln, and you grew up and you had Lincoln slept here and Lincoln's thing came through here. So there's some of that. I live north of Washington, D.C., and there's some of that around where, you know, George Washington stayed here or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I've been down to Mount Vernon, his house, a few times when my kids had field trips or we had to do like a project. And it's fascinating. He has a neat writing chair. His writing chair in his study actually has a sewing machine pedal for your feet.
Okay.
And then when you press on it, it turns a thing that made a fan go above his head. He built this chair himself so that he could cool himself down while he was writing. So the writing thing you talked about.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's neat.
I love Mount Vernon. It's such a nice place.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's beautiful.
Yes, it really is.
All right. Now we're going to switch to a game I call first name, last name. So I'll say a first name like I might say Elvis, and then you come up with a last name. Well, you might say Presley.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
First one that comes to mind. All right. It's only a few.
Okay.
So Alfred.
Hitchcock or Hitchcock. Or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, Hitchcock, yep. Florence.
Nightingale.
Okay. Mary.
Oh. I guess Mary Stewart's the first one that comes to mind.
Okay. Whatever comes to your mind. And then the last one is Michael.
Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Very nice. All right, now we're going to play a game called This or That. So I'm going to say two different things, and you pick the one you like the best.
Okay.
All right. So famous inventors or unsung heroes?
Unsung heroes.
Good. The Age of Enlightenment or the Industrial Revolution?
The Enlightenment.
I thought you'd go that way. Yep. Ancient ruins or modern marvels?
100% ancient ruins.
Yeah. Okay. Because you love history.
I love history. Yep. My husband would 100% be the other way, but I...
Yeah, he'd be the modern marvels. Okay. Yes. Man-made wonders or natural phenomena?
Natural phenomenon.
Yeah, I figured your butterfly made me think you'd going to pick the the phenomena.
Yes.
All right. And then my favorite one of all of them, pen and paper or digital notes?
For me, I'm going to have to say pen and paper.
Yeah. Love it.
Yep. Well, that brings me back to history. If I could write with a quill pen, I would.
Oh, there you go.
Well, fun fact, I one time... in grad school, they had a couple like museums and stuff. And I asked to study in them and I did. And I studied in like a little exhibit of like a colonial house and it was amazing.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed it. And then apparently speaking of George Washington, there was one of the museums, the British Art Museum at Yale has a couple of George Washington pieces. You cannot study with a pen in any of those exhibits, which makes sense. So you'd have to have a pencil and a paper, because you have to protect the artwork.
I like it. Neat.
There you go.
That's neat. All right, and then my last question would be: what would your time travel machine look like if you had one?
Oh, I don't know. And other than like my brain that I said earlier, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind would be like a pink Cadillac. Cause I was reading a book the other day and I'm like, that would be kind of cool.
I like that. A pink Cadillac.
Know, that would definitely like stir some attention when you arrive it in sure a pink would. Cadillac. And then you'd have what's the Lion Estates, the Don't Stop people or whatever. Wilbur would really.
That's right.
They'd be concerned about the pink Cadillac.
They would. They would. Yes. All right. So I have a lot of things, Valerie, to go learn about the migration of the monarch butterflies, the drunk history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's all
I gotta
sorts
watch
of
the
stuff.
Movie with King Triton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to go watch that.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is fun.
Sorry. I can get like super Asperger-y, I feel like, with history, but I love it. It's like this fills my cup. Like I love listening to your show, Truman, because,
thank you.
Yeah. It just really, like when you say like things that like, how do you find time to do it? Like stuff like this, like it energizes me to listen. And I was so excited telling everyone, I'm going to be on a show talking about history tonight, guys. It's going to be awesome.
It is.
But yeah. Finding
was it awesome? Did we
about.
Deliver?
Yes. Yes, we did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah. Well, like I said, I've been waiting my whole life for someone to ask me some of these historical questions, and to be interviewed about it is just, this is making my day, making my year here.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. So a couple cool things about Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't know. I learned when I was researching that she loved corgis. So you mentioned the horses, but she also loved corgis.
Yes.
Did you know she was a corgi lover?
You know, I think I did hear about that at one point in time, but yes, yes.
And she had 30 corgis during her many years of reign.
That's a lot.
And
corgis.
What was really most interesting was after she had her first corgi, she bred them, and each of the other corgis were descendants of their original corgi that she had as a young princess.
That sounds very British monarchy like. Yeah, that's really cool. Huh.
And then another thing that I learned was she's been featured on the currencies in 33 different countries around the world.
Oh, wow.
On the bills or the coins.
That's cool.
How crazy is that?
That is crazy. Yeah, that's crazy to think of all of that. And she also has a swan. Is it the swan? She owns all the swans. Does she still own all the swans?
Well, she's deceased now, but
yeah,
the king does.
But like,
yes,
you know, like the monarchy. Yeah, sorry.
The monarch owns the, I forget the exact name of them, but there are swans, and every year they do a swan count, and they actually count them all to make sure that the census is still there. But yeah, that's a crazy law that was passed many moons ago.
Was that with her? Like, so is it like Elizabeth?
It was pre her.
Oh, that was pre her. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. No, she was a good ruler. She had outsurvived many presidents, and she had outsurvived many popes.
Yes.
You know, all different, her reign spanned so many years. So.
You know, I thought it was really interesting. It is. It's incredible to think that, you know, like when I was reading this article before our episode, Truman, of like, she turned 18 in 1944, and there was lockdown then, and then COVID, and there was lockdown then, and like for
lockdown
her to experience all that. And I do remember her like addressing the country, like to Britain, like she had a video talking about it. And I kind of remember, I'd have to look at the video, but I think she did mention something about World War II. And isn't that incredible to witness all of that in history and to know, you know, like, oh, this isn't my first time with this and leading a country through this. It's mind boggling.
Your mind works in amazing ways, Valerie. Thank you for helping me see that, because they were, when she was 14, she did a speech to help other children about the Blitz and the bombings of the planes and how they had to send some children away from their families.
Yes.
And then eventually they could come back. So that lockdown thing that you're talking about, and then yes, of course, during COVID, same thing, lockdown again. And yeah, that's just
isn't that wild?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there any other topics you wanted to cover, or did you want to share with folks how we can get in touch with you, how we can learn more about what you do every day?
Yeah.
You have a website. You have a.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this opportunity, Truman. I really appreciate it. And so, yes, if If anyone wants to get a hold of me, I have a website that it has all the information that you can access on there. So twomamastolove.com. Mm-hmm. And so I have a podcast called Two Mom is to Love with Valerie Probstfeld, NP, and that's available on Spotify, Apple, and Google. And but you can also access it on my website as well. And then I have a Substack, a Medium account, where I do some of my writing, but again, I'll have my book, and I'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe to my newsletter. Anyone who's listening that's interested, I promise I will not spam. I send an email out twice a month just with updates on the book as well as podcast episodes. We talk about real things. Yep. So like anything that's applicable to parenthood, we talk about. I have a lot of guests on things. So sometimes I'll get into history with some of them, but other times it's really, we talk about what fills each other's cup. And as you can hear tonight, history clearly fills my cup here. So here I am filling my cup. So and you could also find me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, and YouTube. So thank you so very much for everyone who's listening. And thank you, Truman, for such an incredible podcast. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. Fantastic. Absolutely. I love what you do. And I am a newsletter I'm on your mailing list.
Oh, thank you.
I get it every week or every other week, whatever. Yes. Yeah, and I enjoy it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yep. Yes.
Subscriber. That's what it is. I'm a newsletter subscriber.
So, there you go. There you go. Yep. Yeah. I try to keep it relevant and applicable, like things that are applicable for us and to moms. And, you know, so yeah. And I'm trying to think, you had said one other history thing, and I can't help just to, I think it's, I don't know if this will relate to anything that we're talking about, but as you mentioned, like the London bombings and stuff, I think it's really interesting just talking about our lives and documenting our lives and like how I've been doing with writing and stuff. And you're talking about history because Oliver Sacks, he's a neurologist, the late neurologist, he had talked about how memory is, we can't really trust memories sometimes. Like they are not accurate a lot of the times.
And that's right.
Yeah. And apparently he thought that he experienced the London bombings. Like for the longest time, he's like, oh, I have a clear memory of this. And one day he talked to a family member, I think it may have been his brother. And he said, oh, I remember this. And he said, you weren't even born yet. Like how, no, but it was the stories. And so I think that's just so powerful that like we really have the ability through sharing stories and through writing things down through this that we can we can create memories and going through photo albums, going through history, like you can share your family's history and you can share these things. And I was just thinking about it when you said the London bombings, like I always kind of think of what Oliver Sacks said there and how memories really are we can cultivate them. We can think positively. We can do those things, or we can focus on negative things. And we can also, you know, create memories by doing that as well. So I think it's just really neat. Anyway, I'm kind of geeking out with the brain stuff, kind of tying history and neurology together, I guess.
Love it. Love it. That's your gig. Yes. I love it. You go deep, Valerie. It's hard for me to get to think that way sometimes. So I appreciate you helping me see the light here in a different way.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think it's wonderful. It's wonderful.